This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I should be in a mental ward.
That dude should return his muscles. I'm my own General Evan. We need Thundercats.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
We need Thundercats. Guru will be back tomorrow.
From the
Fingers
sip.
Fingers crossed.
From the sip.
Hey. Hey, Goo. How you doing, buddy? Hope you had a, well, hope you had a productive.
Some good news, damn it.
Hope you had a productive weekend, at least. Okay, Brock Purdy. Here's what I have written down. Try to get my thoughts a little bit organized.
Okay.
If I were to ask myself, Steiny, what do you think about Brock Purdy? You like Brock Purdy? I would use the all-encompassing, yeah, he's fine. He's pretty good. Okay, he's pretty good. He's fine. And that's been good enough the last few years because he's had a good supporting cast. But is fine good enough? Is fine going to be good enough this year if they don't win?
Well, yeah, but what if he's bad and they win?
If he's bad and they win, I would be a little more optimistic.
Really? Even if he's a bad quarterback, but they somehow find ways to pull W's out of their keister?
I don't think he can be a bad quarterback. I think he can be average. Like, that's his bad. I just don't think... I think with Shanahan's offense, he's never gonna look bad consistently, I don't think. But what I'm getting at is... is it fair for a fan to say, okay, Brock Purdy, he's been pretty good the last 3 years, no doubt about it. He's been pretty good. Been a surprise. Now he got paid. Now we need him to be a little bit better starting this year. Like, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why does that make you shake your head? Do you not think Purdy's capable of improving?
I think he can get better.
Okay.
But... when you ask the question, all I hear is, well, he's paid now. He's got to be great. Why would he be...
No, I didn't say great. I said better.
No. You mean great because he has to do more now because he has less talent. So he has to be a different version of himself. All I'm saying is I don't think Brock Purdy's bad.
But I don't either.
I think it's going to be really hard for him to be the quarterback you and every other San Francisco 49ers fan is asking him for when he has less talent around him than ever. I think it's going to be harder for him to be greater. I think it's going to take some time for him to calibrate.
Is it possible that he could have a better year with a worse team somehow? Like, I'm just throwing stuff out there.
That's I don't think so.
All right.
Now, I think the team is going to be more wholesome than last year. Like, that's why he'll be better. Is Trent Williams will be available for most of the season, hopefully. Christian McCaffrey will be available for more than two games. You got at least some guys on defense that are younger, have ability to improve. Maybe Ayuk comes back midway through the season and gives you a second half boost. DeMarcus Robinson turns out to be a nice weapon. Ricky Pearsall takes a step. The talent around him can be better. Like, I think Brock Purdy, it may sound like I'm diminishing him, and that's not my intention. I just think that Brock Purdy, like many quarterbacks, is either a beneficiary or sometimes a victim of what surrounds him. And I think so often we put all the onus on the guy throwing the football because the camera follows him around the field everywhere, that we forget about how many players it takes to put together to form a quality football team. That's all I'm saying. And I think that Purdy has more talent around him than last season, because last year they completely broke down. So yes, he should be better than last year, statistically, which ideally should lead to more wins. Like, okay, so the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line is saying this.
Okay.
NFL is the ultimate team sport. Every Hall of Fame quarterback still needs help because the sport relies on every player to do their job to have success. If a guy gets an extra 5 hits a week, will be the difference between 250 and 300. Sorry, all right, here it is. This is all a razor's edge, and a few bad throws is the difference between a good quarterback and a great quarterback. I totally agree. I think Brock Purdy is a good quarterback. I do not yet think he's a great quarterback. So why would I expect him to make all the razor's edge plays that a great quarterback makes? Outside of wanting him to do it. That sounds like a lot of hopium that y'all are smoking out here.
I would say, well, this is his fourth year. Like, he should be getting better every year. More command of the offense. A bigger role. I mean, more of an impact in games. Like, here's the way I look at it with the Niners. When they were, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, Purdy just needed to be a point guard, let's just say. He needed to be Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
Hand the ball off to McCaffrey, throw it to Kidd, all those things. I do feel like with less talent, now he's got to be more of a scoring point guard, whatever that means. Probably means maybe taking a few more chances. And the hope would be that most of those pay off as opposed to not paying off. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it for Purdy. I feel like you're mitigating you're right. You said you didn't like the way we talk about quarterbacks because quarterbacks get too much of the credit and they get too much of the blame.
Yes. And it's because they make all the money. I get it.
But it's also because they might be the most important player on a team outside of starting pitcher in any sport.
You can make a case they're more important than starting pitching because they're responsible for scoring.
Exactly. So I feel like no matter what happens, like you may, and I'm just getting into a discussion here. It feels like Purdy's year will entirely be dependent on everybody else. And that he's only...
In a way,
and he's going to do what we always know he's going to do.
Okay, so I think your basketball analogy is interesting. So Brock Purdy is, as I actually agree, I think he's a really, really good point guard. Okay, so why am I going to move him to the two? Just because there's no one to play there? You know, maybe, God forbid, I might need to find other starting caliber players that complement my really good point guard. And that's how I'm going to be a successful basketball team. I think with football, there are varying degrees of quarterbacks or levels of quarterbacks. Purdy's a guy I know that I can win games with if I give him some talent. This year, I think he's got more talent than last year, so he should win more games. Like, I'm not trying to say the Niners go 5-12 or 6-11 this year that Brock Purdy is not going to be under fire. I guess I just don't think that's going to be the case unless injuries completely derail this team like it did last season.
888-957-9570 is the number. And Brock Purdy's not going to cash in this year on that extension, but it starts next year. And are the expectations different for Brock Purdy now that he got that contract? Let's go out to Trevor's in Rohnert Park, wants to talk a little about the offensive line. Hey, Trevor, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Good.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. I heard the offensive line, and I heard Brock Purdy, and I started getting fired up about Brock Purdy. So let me just say two things about one about the offensive line and about Brock Purdy. One is, I think Brock Purdy is the kind of quarterback where the pay is not going to dictate whether this guy decides he's going to take the next step at the next level or not. I do think that he's the kind of quarterback that's working hard all the time. Is he like you're saying, is he a top three quarterback in the league? Maybe not. But I feel good about Brock Purdy taking this team to a Super Bowl at some point with the right weapons around him, because a quarterback can't do it on his own, right? I saw last year, when we look at these numbers of how he played last year, everybody was hurt on this team. Everybody was hurt. I mean, you can't expect a quarterback. I don't care if you're Tom Brady. If you're Tom Brady and you had this team last year, everybody from Kittle all the way down was hurt. Trying to take that team somewhere promising last year wasn't going to happen. I don't know if you want to put an asterisk next to it, whatever. I don't think it's fair to judge Brock Purdy on his play last year. As far as the interceptions last year go, I remember specifically multiple interceptions that bounced off the hands of receivers and into the other team's hands. So I don't know if I blame Brock Purdy for some of those interceptions. I'd cut two of those out, maybe three of those interceptions out right now, and say that we had receivers that didn't hold on to the ball, tipped it up in the air, should have caught it, and it went into another receiver's hands. So I think we need to just kind of take a look at Brock Purdy and give him a chance to grow. The guy is a good quarterback. He can become something better. And there's something he has that a lot of other quarterbacks don't have, and that's poise in the pocket. If you look at what he's doing, he's not afraid. He doesn't hear footsteps. He throws the ball accurately most of the time. Was he pressing last year? Absolutely. But he had a garbage team, hot garbage, all year long, and he was just trying to make something happen, and it didn't work half the time. Sometimes it did. But I've seen him in games. Now, I heard somebody say something about how when the Niners are down, it's really difficult or almost impossible for him to bring them back. He just doesn't do it. Well, I've seen that happen a couple of times. I saw it in the playoffs. So that's not true. He can definitely do it. So I think Brock Purdy is a good choice to sign. I think he's a good leader. I think he's a hard worker. And if he loses, and we have that kind of quarterback, if he loses based on those facts, then I'm okay with it. I don't want to see a quarterback go out there and make a bunch of mistakes just for the hell of it, and you don't get the feeling like that quarterback is invested in the team. I feel like Purdy is invested in his team. I feel like he's invested in himself. I think he is going to work harder to be a better quarterback. Whatever that is, I'm backing him. So that's how I feel about him.
Gotcha.
Offensive line.
Let's see. Trevor,
appreciate the call, man.
You know what? We'll table it there because the offensive line stinks. It's pretty bad.
Okay.
Hold on. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 Sam. I don't like when you talk to the producer, though, and I can't hear you. It's very unsettling. And I know it was about me. An Odyssey sports station and the home of the Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Fran.
Okay.
You want me to play the sound?
No, it's not about the sound.
Oh. What's is it about me?
No, it's not about you.
Oh, okay. Well, then
it's
then
about
let it out.
People.
Mm-hmm.
You just said the offensive line stinks.
Come. Okay.
I'm kind of with you.
Oh,
they're
I stand by it.
They're a Trent Williams injury away from stinking. So, if the offensive line stinks,
yes.
And we can't stop guys from getting into the backfield in 3 seconds. If we got Spencer Burford on Saturday getting used like a rag by Benito of the Denver Broncos, how is my quarterback going to deliver the football?
Well, first of all, he needs to lead the league among quarterbacks then in rushing. If they have a bad offensive line,
1,000-yard rusher,
then I'd like
Purdy
to see him rush for about 800 yards.
Which he can't do.
Secondly,
but Yes.
Listen, it's. People say stick to basketball. They don't realize that. Okay, let me tell you something about football. When you have a bad offensive line, you got to just roll out. Just roll the quarterback out. And
ludicrous.
We're fine.
Roll out. He was also great this week.
Designed rollouts. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Look. All right, now do you want to play the sound?
Yeah, I'll play the sound. Okay. This is from the Richard Sherman podcast, who Brock Purdy was on with.
Today, we have an incredible guest, the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, the man of the hour, Brock Purdy.
Oh, that was the intro. All right, Richard. I think Richard. Hey, okay, that's it. Just so you know what's coming up.
I thought about listening to an hour-long conversation that set up.
Appreciate it. Hopefully, Richard pulled a guru here. And take a listen to it, and then I'll tell you if he did pull a guru.
I think, you know, at practice and stuff, I was making throws my rookie year, and I was trying to make the team, and I was like, all right, I think I can do it, but this is practice. And so once we got into week 13 against the Dolphins, Jimmy went down. My first third down pass was like a little 5-yard out to Christian on third down, and I completed it on the sideline. And in that moment, I was like, dude, this is football. I've been doing this my whole life. And and during the game, I feel like it's a little bit more slower, actually. Everything seems open. You can see better. Practice sometimes is so hectic. You're trying to get different looks and whatnot. But in the game, in that moment, on that drive, I was like, man, I've been doing this my whole life. We went down. We scored. There was a two-minute drill right before half. We're just executing, and I was just throwing and going through my reads. And I was like, you know what? I can do this. And sure enough, we went on a run that year, my rookie year. But I think it was those two drives right there, week 13, 2022.
Bro, it was cool.
That was Richard Sherman. The question Richard Sherman had asked of Brock Purdy there was, when was that moment on the field when you knew you belonged? And Richard Sherman talked about some preseason games that he played when he was a rookie. And Purdy basically saying it was that game, week 13, against the Dolphins, where he came in and finished, I think he, that was the game Garoppolo got hurt, right?
Yeah, and they were down.
Yeah,
in that game.
And you know, he did the job, and that's when he started feeling like he belonged in this league.
I mean, I agree. I remember watching that game thinking, who is this guy? And maybe it's because it came out of nowhere and it was so shocking, and everybody just, you know, he was getting compared to Tom Brady. He beat him, and the Niners beat the Buccaneers the next week in his first start as an NFL quarterback. You know, he had a gutsy, I think he had a broken rib, went into Seattle and beat them on the road, something that's always been tough for 49ers teams and 49ers quarterbacks. Helped take him to a NFC championship game in his first season and then backed it up with a Super Bowl appearance the next year. You know, maybe everybody was just too far ahead, like expecting this guy to just have them in NFC championship games and Super Bowls, and it's really hard to do. It takes a lot. And I think the Niners as a team, as a franchise, especially with Kyle Shanahan as head coach, have set this standard. And the players talk about it sometimes too, this standard of being in important games and big games. And I'm looking at their team this year, and I'm not seeing players that are standard representatives all over the field. They got a few of them. They do. They have some good players, but like, they don't have guys at every single position. I remember that when Brock Purdy took over, we would be talking about, well, you know, that second corner is a little iffy. You know, I don't know if you know, their third linebacker, they got some questions. I don't know about the return man. You know, Ray McCloud makes me a little jumpy. Dude, we're talking about just starting caliber players all over the field. We're talking about their guards. We're talking about their second wide receiver. We're talking about their defensive tackles. We're talking about their two starting safeties. There are so many different questions we have about this team compared to the last few years. I'm just not expecting these guys to play like freaking gangbusters. And God forbid if they don't, and the team doesn't succeed in the immediate, I'm not going to put it all at the feet of Brock Purdy. If he plays badly, we'll talk about it. But to me, if this season is, you know, if they go 8-9, but like I don't think that's going to be all on Brock. If they go 9-8 and barely miss the playoffs, I don't think that's going to be all on Purdy. I might be wrong, but that's not how I think this is going to play out. I think a lot of the season we're going to be talking about the amount of question marks that we've been discussing for the last few months.
I would agree with that, and that's why, to me, you know, Purdy this year is, you know, I looked at him as a, I don't want to say a role player because he was a quarterback, but I do think he's obviously going to be more front and center as a discussion point this year for two reasons. One is because we all know that the talent around him isn't as good as it has been in the last few years. But also, I don't think we can detach the contract from that, whether we like it or not. This is one of the things I always love to talk about. This is from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. All this panic and negativity from the 510. Does anybody remember Brock Purdy and Jordan Mason's first drive as rookies in the preseason on the Niners? LOL, we're going to be okay. Please, 510, define okay. Because that's what I think the crux of the whole season is. They may go 8-9 and that's okay. Or that's fine if we think that the talent level has matched the record. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I got questions about this team. If I'm ranking, positions of concern, quarterback is very low. Just is.
No, I agree.
I'm not concerned about the quarterback. You know, I think Brock Purdy is good, and I think he's going to keep this team in a lot of games, and we'll see if he, along with every other player on that roster, can make some plays to help them win. You know, I think the Niners are in kind of a transition right now. Maybe they can be a bit ahead of schedule this season. You know, I think they're really, really young on defense, and I think that showed during the preseason on Saturday. They got some guys who made some plays, and elsewhere they got dominated a little bit by the Broncos.
I look at you were kind of saying,
I just don't want to set up this whole year for us to bash Brock Purdy.
Why not? They about to win. They got to win.
You would like to win. You don't have to win. You'd like to.
Oh, Evan. Who's that? Oh, Evan.
This is where we disagree.
No, I will say, like, this is the one thing I was thinking about Purdy, and this is where Kyle Shanahan comes into play a little bit. The idea of what a bad year even looks like for Purdy, because last year they were 6-11 and there seemed to be, yeah, he was okay, took a little step back, but that was to be understood according to people who cited injury and stuff like that. Like, how about this? Here's what I would bet $1,000 on. Brock Purdy can't play poorly enough that Kyle Shanahan will remove him if he's healthy. In other words, I don't believe Brock Purdy can play so poorly that he would go to Mac Jones without an injury to Brock Purdy.
Did he remove Brock in the Christmas game against Baltimore a couple of years ago?
Only because he threw 5 interceptions.
No, I'm asking. I don't remember.
I think he might have.
Because the game was over.
But this would be more, Purdy's not very good. We're going with Mac Jones to finish this game and to start the following week.
Not any game that they're in. No. Like, the only time we're going to see Mac Jones this year is probably if Brock Purdy's hurt or if the game is completely a blowout.
Kyle Shanahan on Mac Jones.
Oh, boy.
Max seemed like he performed well. You know, I liked how he came out. It was a challenge, especially going against that defense. He had a bunch of guys out there, too, and loved the first drive. The next one, I think we went three and out, and but I was happy with Max today.
Uh-oh.
Threw a nice deep ball to Watkins.
Oh, no! That was pretty.
Yeah, I mean, you like having a good backup quarterback if Purdy goes down. It can keep you in some games.
More Kyle Shanahan? How about, you know who we haven't talked about today is Juwan Jennings. You know what? I'll push it to the other side. I want to hear what Shanahan said on Juwan Jennings. He was another 49er. Obviously, he didn't play on Saturday. We don't know if it's a holdout, hold-in, or a calf with him. 888-957-9570. Coming up in a half hour, we'll have the crossover with Willard and Dibbs. But don't forget, coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on the Connecticut Sun. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pregame starts at 6:30. It's all brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. And what's coming up on The Game next is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. He'll be back tomorrow from the SIP. Mississippi. I want to hear about Mississippi.
You want to take back what you said during the break?
Maybe.
It's not about Guru.
What was it?
About Bo Nix.
What about him? What did I say?
Said he's better than Brock.
No, I did not.
See, everyone thinks that I'm a hater on Brock Purdy, but like...
You're not a hater, you just don't hold him accountable.
No, I just don't hold him in the same regard as other people expect him, because now he's paid $250 million to just blossom into the next Fran Tarkenton.
So, hold on.
He's better than Bo Nix, though.
That's fine. So...
No, just say you take it back.
Nobody heard it for me to take back, so I I won't. I don't know if I want to do this or not, which means I will.
Sure.
I got to give you an update on Jonathan Kuminga.
So what happened?
Question is it an update? Anthony Slater dropped story today. He was part of a story, dropped it on the... seven free agents in the NBA still out there. Here's the latest on, we could discuss if this is news or not.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
His first sentence says, so everything, this is Anthony Slater, so everything sits in the same spot it did 10 days ago. So does that mean it's news or not? See, I would say it's news. If nothing's changed in 10 days, isn't that in and of itself news? That nothing's changed.
It is news.
I can give you a little more context.
But real fast, I remember asking my dad one time about why news is the way it is. Because, you know, a lot of the news is not necessarily, positive or like the most uplifting, especially, you know, recently. And he goes, that's not what the news is for. The news is the news. It does not have to be good. It doesn't have to be bad. It's just the news. So I would say that's what the Kuminga news is it's just the news.
All right, here's the latest. The Warriors have not upped their offer, and Kuminga has indicated to those close to him that the $7.9 million qualifying offer is more appealing to him than the Warriors' current pitch. Something has to give before the October 1st deadline. And the Warriors' current pitch is a two-year, $45 million offer with a team option for the second year. I can't believe he's coming back here on the qualifying offer, even though I can believe he might come back here on the qualifying offer.
What do you think is the most likely to happen?
I think...
Number one...
Oh, boy.
He signs the qualifying offer. Number two, he signs the Warriors' two-year, $45 million deal with the team option? Or number three?
Number three.
Thank you, Pasta. They trade him this summer.
Wow, dude.
I would have to say.
Even though they say it's off the table.
I still would say number three is the most likely. That they will still find a sign and trade for Kuminga that will suit them. Here's the question. If you're the Warriors, would you rather, let's just say, take one of the deals with Phoenix or with Sacramento, or you would want him to play on the qualifying offer?
No. I can't have him play on the qualifying offer. I do not want that. Now, I don't think it's good for either side.
Well, keep in mind, if they do that, if they find a team he's willing to get moved to, they still could do it at the deadline.
On the qualifying offer.
Correct.
If he accepts the deal, yes.
Yeah.
Because he would have a
right. So
no
in other
trade
words,
clause.
At that point, he would be under contract with a no trade clause. But I would like to think that if, as acrimonious as it may or may not be, if he comes back on the qualifying offer, then I have to get a list of teams from him that he would be willing to be traded to.
But the issue is you can only acquire a player that's worth $7.9 million.
That's absolutely
which
correct.
Which is why I don't think it would behoove either side to do it. From Kuminga's side, you would make less money, and you'd kind of be flipping the middle finger to the team you're coming back to because they know you want to leave. And the Warriors, it would be difficult to move him because he can kind of choose where he wants to go. And you're not going to get as much as you possibly can back for him because of the finance. You'd save some money. There's no doubt about that. But to me, that's not the reason why you're keeping him. I mean, you're trying, God. I mean, it's like the Warriors have been fishing, using Kuminga as fish bait for a long time, and it feels like every single time they've gotten a nibble, they take a look in the water and say, that fish ain't big enough. Oh, we're gonna reel in and cast again. It's like, at some point, you're going to have to take the fish out of the water.
I mean, the one thing is, I'm just going to real quick look here at some guys. All right, let me just throw some names at you.
Mm-hmm.
Lonzo Ball. I'm not saying he makes $10 million.
Okay.
You know, could you trade him for somebody who is still currently on their rookie deal?
You could.
Stephon Castle. What about Mathurin? I'm just saying there are names.
Yep.
There are some names here.
Benedict Mathurin's pretty good.
I know. I'm just going on salary alone. What if Ace Bailey doesn't get off to a great start in Utah? He's making $9 million.
Yeah.
Ty Jerome's making 8.8. Almost matches up exactly.
That's his new contract with Memphis?
Yeah. I mean, what I am saying is there are some guys who... Kelly Oubre. Would you trade him right now for Oubre?
No. I don't want Kelly Oubre.
There's some guys here I would...
But that's kind of my point, though. If it gets to the place where he signs a qualifying offer, which I personally don't believe he will do, but if he did, then... You're not going to get anything of substance because the only players that teams would be willing to move are players that you don't want. The players that make that much money are usually young and pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, like, I'll come up with three guys who you would say yes to. Let's say at the trading deadline, would you trade him for Tyus Jones? Maybe.
Well, if that's my only option, but okay. I wouldn't like it to get to the point where I'm flipping him for... You know what? If I'm going to get Tyus Jones, well, then let me just trade him for Royce O'Neal, Nick Richards, and 4 second-round picks.
All right, so you like that one better.
Better than Tyus Jones.
What about Clint Capella? Making 6.7. I'm just saying...
I would prefer not to trade him for Clint Capella.
No, I'm just saying there are some names here that... come the trade deadline, maybe. There's some names here that maybe you take Looney back for $8
million.
Yeah, I just, here's the one thing. I'm looking at Kuminga as, and I don't mean this as a player, but I almost am looking at him as a zero right now because he doesn't really want to be here. And I think we're, like, are you at the point where this could be addition by subtraction because you just don't want the headache?
Yeah, but you can't give him up for literally nothing. I mean, it's like, this isn't a Cam Whitmore situation where I think they gave him to Washington for basically just, what, a second round pick?
Yeah, something like that. Although everybody loves what Washington did this summer.
Who's they?
Pundits.
Who are the pundits?
NBA experts.
Who
insiders.
Covers the Washington Wizards?
Oh, they're a national franchise. Shams.
Who's their Slater? I actually don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
No, but
I would say maybe a guy named, oh God, I think I was thinking of their coach.
Well, Bailey really O'Keefe? Wanted to go there. Oh, Brian O'Keefe.
Yeah, he's the coach.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't trade him for nothing. But I also don't believe that it would be in the best interest for either side to be married when the season begins. That's why I'm still with you. I think the most likely option is that they come to an agreement to sign and trade him at some point between now and October 1st.
I still would have to bet on that.
Because if they don't,
I'm with you.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that could go wrong if they don't do that.
See, I like this from the YouTube chat. Don Dada, 1200. Steiny, what? I don't know what you mean when you say what. Like, what did I say? I consider Kuminga a zero? I don't mean as a player. What I mean is, at what point do you realize that he might not be a functional player on your team?
408's got you.
How so?
He's got you down cold. Boxer and Grusin, work injury attorney's text line. You taking Bronny James?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You taking the project?
Yeah.
Trade the idea
for
the project?
You know why?
Why?
Because Kuminga's a project, too, and we're 4 years in, and he hasn't emerged.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So Bronny still has two more years.
Now I think you are just talking.
I am. I'm just messing around.
I know.
There. That's true.
There's also updates on other players, too. Again, like the restricted free agency market is completely frozen. And the one that actually, the player that they did say was that Slater and the rest of the beat writers kind of agreed upon that would be the most likely to pick up his qualifying offer is Cam Thomas of the Nets, which I find interesting because you could argue that Giddy maybe more, but of the four players, Cam Thomas might be the most proven of them. Like, he's gotten the most opportunity. He hasn't been traded yet, and he averaged 24 points a game last year. I find that interesting, but
no, I'm just, maybe all four of those restricted free agents come back on the qualifying offer. I don't know.
To me, that would be like almost a calculated move. I mean, that to me would be I'm not saying like a collusion type of situation, but all four sign a qualifying offer?
Well,
damn.
The one thing, like people that say, I'd rather trade him for something than lose him for nothing. I would be willing to say right now, they are not going to lose him for nothing. Even if he comes back on the qualifying offer, I find it hard to believe that they won't move him. And then, like, the only way they get nothing for him is if he leaves at the end of the year to become an unrestricted free agent. So the Warriors still have plenty of time to get something for him, whether it's before October 1st or whether it's depending on what he does and we're dealing with him at the trading deadline. I find, here's the other thing. I get he's got a no trade clause, but would Kuminga really turn down a trade to a team where he may play a lot? You know what I mean? Like, does Jonathan Kuminga have teams other than the Warriors, let's say, that he doesn't want to play for?
Yeah, teams where he's not going to play.
Right. So,
I mean, I think it's interesting that if they went into the season with a contract and they got to the deadline, Kuminga would red light a trade to a good team that has a starting small forward and power forward because he wants to play. Yeah, you know, I mean, we've discussed some of the fits and situations, but I don't. Like Phoenix and Sacramento are not model franchises. And I find it interesting that those are the two places that he really wants to go. I mean, he has, to me, that screams, I have no intention of playing right now, winning basketball. Maybe he thinks he can get there at some point, but I find it interesting when, like, there's this guy for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Brian Reynolds. At the deadline, he's got a no-trade clause. He said, I don't want to go to the Yankees, the Mets, the Giants, the Dodgers, all these teams that at the time were in playoff contention. I don't want to go play winning baseball. I'm sorry, that rubs me the wrong way. What did you get into this game for? Did you get in because you wanted to play? You wanted to make some money? Or do you want to win?
He wants to feed his family.
Yeah, that's all well and good.
You know what the cost of living is in Pittsburgh compared with New York? And you're not getting a raise when you get traded. So his quality of life declines when you go to a place like that.
Not if you succeed. You get paid more.
You really think... Never mind.
Seriously, no. Like, someone as old school as you are, that doesn't rub you the wrong way when someone says, I don't want to go play for a good team. I would rather play for a bad team. Or just a middling franchise?
I think that we need to start wrapping our minds around the idea that the Vince Lombardi line that winning isn't everything, it's the only thing, doesn't apply to every single player or coach. I do believe, for example, I wouldn't just leave this station to go to whatever the number one sports talk station is in the country just because I'm a winner there, right? I like it here. I like the Bay. I like my friends. I like my house. I'm content. I think we can win here.
Yeah, but if you didn't like it here, which is how Kuminga is feeling right now, then wouldn't you want to go somewhere where you feel like could be a good situation?
I think to a young player, playing time is more important than winning.
I agree with that.
Especially to a guy like Kuminga, who has been on a quote-unquote winning team.
That's it. My bad. No, I thought you were going somewhere. I was gonna
go somewhere.
Well, like I moved around the country to get experience for my job, so that one day I could. Sure, that's not really a drop. I didn't tell you where I went. I just tell you I went around the country to get back to a place where then I could help. But the goal was always to win. I mean, I wanted to go places where I could quote unquote win. You know, I think that's what, I don't know, most people should strive for in sports. You know, when the team succeeds, generally players succeed. I mean, that's what Andre Iguodala has been preaching for like 15 years.
Well, it's, with all due respect, it's a little easy for Iguodala to do that because he got paydays in his prime.
He made more money at the end of his career than he did during the prime of his career.
He made a lot in Philly when he was the man, and I think he was making good money in Denver, too.
I mean, we can just go look it up.
Sure. Right. We can take a call in the meantime. Let's go to JD in Oakland. What's up, JD? How you doing?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Hey.
Two things. First of all, I think the Warriors are looking at the Kuminga deal in a half a glass half empty kind of way. What they should do is identify players that they would like to get and then see if Kuminga plus something else can get them closer to getting that player instead of looking at, well, what can he get? What, you know, what's going to be the trade? You look at a team like Houston. Now that they've acquired KD, maybe Easton or Jabari Smith may be somebody that they can part with depending on what you give them with Kuminga. And that's what I think they should do in that case. And when you talk about wins, people wanting to go to winning teams, a guy that's familiar with this, Eric Gilbert Arenas, has been heard saying very loudly that it's not about winning chips, it's about making money.
Right.
And that just lends to the player, the type of player he or she may be, the individual that they may be. And so I think at some point, once they make the money, once they've secured their financial future, then winning becomes more important.
I agree with that. Yeah. Thanks, JD. Appreciate it. There's something about Gilbert Arenas. Got to tell you. Something about Arenas. He says a lot of outlandish stuff. But some of it, I'm with him. Like, I'm with him on some stuff. Like, he's got a way of looking at the NBA through a player's lens that I don't think we understand that part of it.
Mm. Well, I don't really think many people understand him. He's a complex individual.
Well, for example,
by the way, a couple pieces of important Niners
okay,
news.
Go ahead.
This is from Cam Edmund of the Bay Area News Group. 49ers rookie wide receiver Jordan Watkins has a high ankle sprain and will miss a month. Came in Sunday, reported pain, got MRI, so he's done for a bit. And then DeMarcus Robinson is going to appeal the NFL suspension he now officially faces for the first 3 games. That was for last season's DUI while he was with the Rams.
I mean, what's the appeal? I wonder if...
He is going through an appeals process as he faces NFL suspension at least first 3 games for no contest plea. So it sounds like he's going to... Yeah. Anyways, the Niners just got hit again at the wide receiver
position. Yeah, they did. The thing with Robinson is, you know, I should know this, but I don't. You know, in baseball, when you would appeal something like that, you get to play while you appeal, and then you get penalized. So my first thought with Robinson is, I wonder if by appealing,
he can play a little bit.
Right, that he could theoretically push his suspension from games 1, 2, and 3 to games 4, 5, and 6, if for no other reason than they might be more healthy at the wide receiver position at that point. But I'd be surprised if that's how it works. But yeah, Jordan Watkins has the big catch early against the Denver Broncos, and now he's going to be out for a week. I mean, that's the other thing about when you got a lot of young players. We got to figure out if they can be durable enough.
Yep. I mean, that's the NFL. You know, you would hope these young players can stay on the field, but we don't know if Pearsall can stay healthy for a full season. We don't know if Mykal Williams, who hyperextended his knee and is going to be out, I think, until later this week, is out for a week. If he can stay on the field, it ain't easy.
No.
Like, you don't just plug these guys in and they turn into roses.
No. By the way, Hozier?
Yeah.
They have that song, Take Me to Church, I believe.
Yep, they do. I didn't see Hozier, but everyone said that it was great.
What was the highlight?
That's a live band.
What was the highlight for you of Outside Lands as I... Got something in my throat.
You okay there?
Yeah.
Probably Big X the Plug.
Big X.
Big X is the man.
Big X the Plug.
Big X the Plug. Yes, he's a very large individual. His name is, I think his real name is Xavier, so it goes by Big X.
I'm afraid to ask this.
He's big.
What does the plug mean?
Don't worry about it.
Is it something profane?
No, it's just the plug, wherever you get stuff you need from your plug.
Evan, real quick, is he the one that came out with the shirt off?
No, he didn't come out with the shirt off, but at the end of the set, The shirt was off.
I did see
it. And he's in good shape?
No. No, he's a...
Washboard?
He's Big Six-pack? X, dude. He's a big boy. Get off him. Quit body shaming Big X.
I couldn't pick him out of a
That's
police
where
lineup.
You were going.
That's a weird assumption.
I couldn't even pick him out of a police lineup. I don't know if he's skinny, medium build, or a little...
I think you'd be able to pick him
chubby.
Out.
Chubby. All right. Crossover next. See what Willard wants to fight me on today. That segment brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.